Simon, pump that up, Rise, for us, because it's Taco Tuesdays.
What?
It's Taco. It's Taco Tuesdays.
Where did that come from?
You know, you eat tacos.
Are you LeBron James now? Like, what is this? What is this, bro?
Do you like tacos?
I do enjoy a good taco.
Okay.
I do.
That's the one thing I miss about being in California and L.A.
You don't have to be in California or L.A. to enjoy a good taco, J-Dub.
I know, but we're so close to Tijuana, Mexico. You get an authentic Tijuana type of taco. Because think about it.
I get them here.
Really?
Yeah.
I found some really good taco places, too.
Yeah, I found best one.
Really?
Taco Bell. Taco Bell has awesome chalupas. What are you talking about, Tijuana? I enjoy.
What's wrong with you?
You don't like Taco Bell.
I love it.
So what are you talking about?
But I promise you, bro.
Yeah.
I was on the edge of my seat, like, because you know some spots.
Yeah.
And I'm like, OC hasn't taken me to the taco spot?
Yeah. Here's the problem, Jason.
Oh, my God.
Here's
gosh.
The problem.
You hit me with Taco Bell.
No, here's the problem. Here's the problem, right? And the problem is that for some reason, we always assume that something that's cheap can't be good.
Ooh, you might be onto something.
I'm telling you.
You might be onto something.
I've had tacos everywhere. I've had tacos in Mexico.
Real tacos.
And the honest to God truth is, Taco Bell has the best tacos
you said I've chalupa. Ever had.
The dough on the chalupa. It's crispy. It's chewy. It's incredible.
It is.
I don't understand why people diss Taco Bell.
Oh, man, it's so good.
We love it in my house. Everybody. We get them by the boatload, J-Bell.
It's probably legit in a boat.
Taco Bell is
I'm
so
sweating.
Good,
uh-huh,
right,
uh-huh,
that we're talking about Taco Bell. They didn't pay us nothing.
And you said officially, we can't talk about anything or anybody that hasn't cut us a check.
That's how good Taco Bell is.
Man, I remember as a kid, man, just like early Taco Bell.
Mm.
Like early, before inflation Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Like with $4, how much, $5, how much you
oh
could
my God.
Eat?
Several.
Bro.
Several tacos.
I used to ride my bike or my skateboard down there with the little homies.
You rode your bike and your skateboard.
Sometimes I had the skateboard.
You must really love those tacos.
Yeah.
You rode your bike and your skateboard.
That's how distracted I am talking about tacos. I'm thinking I'm on two devices at the same time. Like a unicycle. Did you ever skateboard?
Never skateboarded, man.
Never.
I've been 280 pounds since I was 15.
Stop.
Imagine my big ass skateboard. with a rag leading to the left side.
Like, turning the corner.
You're going to sit down somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Okay, so Taco Tuesdays. That's how we start.
All right.
Uprise and tacos. How
I'm
you feeling? I'm going
to tell my wife now.
Yeah.
We're going to have some Taco Bell today. Is that tonight, J-Bell.
I'm going to have some tacos. I'm going to do the same.
Yeah.
I'm gonna convince my daughter that it's Taco Tuesdays.
Yeah. And they got the little Beyond Meat tacos now.
Have you tried that?
I haven't tried that, but I have tried the Beyond Meat burger.
Yeah.
And it is delicious.
You hit me up with a burger spot by our house.
Yeah.
Because we live in the same area. We cannot disclose. Because we don't want any authorities coming to get us. You know, we got to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
That being said, that burger place, good burger.
Yeah.
Really good.
As a matter
burger.
Of fact, now that I think about it, Jason, I think I'm going to fire my financial advisor. I think he's fired. Jason.
Please don't do that.
I think
you
I
like
to.
Him.
I love him, and I've known him since 2002.
Are you really going to fire him?
Probably.
Well,
I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me why. This is not good.
I'm going to tell you why. It's because Beyond Meat. Right? The little, you know, the fake, not fake, it's food, but it's not meat.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I remember this was a couple of years ago,
and
I started to hear about this Beyond Meat. Now, at that point in time, I was on a vegan kick also, right? Because for a time, I was vegan, right? You remember that?
Yep,
remember?
Yeah. I do.
And so I had this Beyond Meat burger years ago.
Yes.
And it was delicious.
Mm.
And I looked at it and I saw that all of a sudden they were talking about how Burger King was looking at using the Impossible burger for their thing.
Yes.
And so I called my financial advisor, and I was like, there's a lot of vegans nowadays. This burger tastes really, really good, right? I think we should look to invest in this company.
You brought it to his table.
I brought it to him. And he was like, okay, yeah, I'll look at it. I'll look at it. And then nothing else got said about it.
Ooh.
Fast forward 2 years later, and I remember looking at that stock, and it was up 500%, Jason.
Stomach pains.
500%,
Jason. My stomach is in pain.
500%.
Ooh-wee, that hurt.
How? If I were to put...
couple of nickels.
$1,000?
Couple of peas.
You know, $10,000? $100,000 into this? Up 500%, Jason?
Yeah.
That's a big win.
Yeah, that's a... That changes how much Taco Bell you can definitely eat at the house.
Right.
Quickly. Yeah.
And we didn't do that. Now, was that my fault or was that his fault?
Maybe he was protecting you, right? Yeah. Of the risk of it. Because remember, risk and reward, right? Yeah. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So when you talk about something gaining that much percentage, there's a downside risk to that.
But $100,000 ain't nothing to me.
Yeah, it really isn't. We laugh, but it... That is a devious...
Shout out to the NFL.
$100,000
ain't nothing.
Shout out. You want to hear something
straight
funny?
Cash, homie.
Straight cash. OC's pool table in his house in New Jersey. That was a great house.
Oh yeah.
That's enough. That's all we'll talk about.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was very nice.
There's a NFL athlete, former athlete, who went to school with me. That retired, he actually won a Super Bowl, and took over his father's, who played in the NFL. So anybody wants to do some digging, they can figure this out. Private equity fund in San Francisco, that area. And our firm, our clients invested in it, startups and things like that. And guess what one of them was?
What's that?
What you just talked about.
No.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So we have, I can't talk about that on the thing because,
So they made they made some big bread.
Yeah.
It's bread.
I'm just saying.
Big bread.
You have to say you thought just like your NFL brethren. Yeah. Very good, very good PE firm. Really good. So shout out to OC.
Yeah. It made sense. You know what I mean? Like, it made sense at the time.
It did.
Oh, well.
It did. I got something that don't make sense. And I looked this up. I always like to throw something out that's happened like each week in the NFL that I don't think you'll get right. Okay. And you know everything. All right.
I didn't know to invest that $100,000. I didn't know that.
Nothing. It's nothing. Please don't fire your financial advisor.
No, really I can't. That's my guy, man.
Yes,
I love him.
I love the stories on him. I know, exactly. So, first 2 weeks, okay, there's been some serious scrambling quarterbacks. Scrambling, for those that don't know, running around, making plays happen, right? Real athletic, making it crack. Really exciting. A lot of yards. Who do you think the top three are? I think you'll get one. You might get the second. The third you're not going to get. If you get this.
Top three.
Top three, OC.
Scrambling quarterbacks.
For the first 2 weeks of the season. So basically, they've rushed for a combined 1,264 yards, and that's the most through the first 2 weeks of a single season since 1970. You and I weren't even here.
These are QBs.
And this, to the 1970 NFL merger. These are QBs. Top
so,
three.
Lamar Jackson.
Number one. Lamar Jackson's number one.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, that's the one I thought you were going to get.
You just said I knew everything, so.
Oh!
Listen, let me just tell you something about my
brain. I hate you. No, I hate you right now.
But let me tell you something about
my brain. I thought I was going to stomp you.
Let me tell you something about my brain, okay?
Jeez, man. He's number three, by the way.
Yeah. So as I'm scrolling through things.
I hate you.
just little pieces of information just, and they just stick. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't going around wedge busting. I wasn't a wedge buster.
You weren't him. So you're saying your brain your brain plasticity? Your plasticity?
It's functioning at a very high level.
Plasticity?
Plasticity.
Yeah.
Elasticity.
No, it's your
brain. My brain isn't plastic. So.
No, but it's the way you consume information and it sticks.
Yeah.
It's plasticity.
I'm pretty sure that is not the truth.
It isn't?
It just sounds wrong.
So, Simon, is it plasticity or elasticity?
Elasticity.
Damn it!
I'm right again.
Why did I say You said it just doesn't. Your brain is. All right, yeah. But I was right. I was in the city, right? I needed you to confirm that, and you did, and I didn't listen.
That's okay.
So I thought you weren't going to get that right.
No, yeah. Of course I was going to get it right.
Who's number two?
See, now this is where you might have me.
Yeah.
But Kyler Murray, maybe?
That's what I would have thought, too.
Kyler Murray.
No.
So Lamar Jackson, Daniel Jones.
Who would number two be? I thought you weren't going to get Daniel Jones.
Jalen Hurts?
Yep. You're right.
Yeah.
Man.
Jalen Hurts.
So that being said, Daniel Jones,
our
New York Giants,
he's
not playing bad.
He's playing well.
He's not playing bad.
Yeah, and he can run.
Yeah. He has more yards.
But I thought they said – anyway, you know what?
Daniel Jones, number three. I just can't believe you got that.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Yeah.
What is your thing from the NFL? I just want to know. It's first 2 weeks. Things are easy.
Mm-hmm.
Throw something out, man.
I think the one thing that I'm amazed by is – how good the games have been early in the season.
I totally agree.
I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
Usually the games early in the season aren't, you know, you get a good game here and there, you know what I mean? But the quality of games and the quality of play that we're seeing over these first 2 weeks, it's something that I just have not seen before, right? And I'm trying to figure out why that is. Mm. Like, why do you think teams are operating at such a high level? A lot of them are in mid-season form. Like, they're playing the way they would be playing, like, around week six, week seven. They're playing like that now.
Yes.
Why is that?
Offensively, too.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's because there are teams that understood what they needed to work on in the offseason, right? Mm-hmm. You spend all offseason. NFL is 12 months of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about what's happening. You can see in the beginning of the year which teams have actually addressed those issues.
Yeah.
It will change and evolve, especially after about four games or so. But this first quarter of the season, I think when you look at the teams, we've said, oh, they needed to fix this. Oh, they needed to improve on this. I think those teams are firing at all cylinders.
Is the lack of a lot of off-season, you think that's actually helping people? You think that's actually helping teams? Like, because there's like a desperation now to get so much done in such a short period of time that is actually making them, you know, because to me, there's no reason why the level of play and the competition would be going up at a time when they're reducing the amount of time you can spend together. And they're actually reducing contact, they're reducing practice. Why would the level of play go up?
Good question. And
I don't understand it.
A good question. Remember, what was one of your advantages? How hard you worked.
Yeah.
And you worked that hard regardless of who was around.
Yep.
So veterans, we might not be at doing things as a team, but we're working on our craft.
Mm.
So then, where does the gap widen? When you have a quarterback like Tom Brady who says, we're going to throw, we're going to get together, we're going to put in this work. Now it's about how much work you put in as an individual. It isn't based on, hey, a team, we gotta gather as a team, we gotta do these team things, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's I need to work on this part of my game and I got more time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I always felt like my advantage was when I went away. I could really hone my skills. I could really work on what I needed to do. I think that's what you see with a lot of teams and players. Now, doesn't help the rookies because a lot of young guys, a lot of time they don't really know how to work. But if you know how to work, you can get your skills up. And I think you see that and with a lot of the teams and how especially the passing game, how it's flowing, they've probably spent a lot of time together in the offseason working. Yeah. On their own.
Interesting.
On their own. I think this time is great for players to go get what they need to get done. It's hard on coaches because, you know, your offensive line can't work out all offseason together. Those five guys, they have to do things together. It's practice reps. So that's much harder. So you do see those teams that have great offensive line play are probably guys that have worked together before. Because that's hard to do. So I think you're right. I think you're going to see an advantage. Those that put in the work when nobody's looking, you're going to definitely see the advantage.
It's another thing I wanted to ask you about. And it just – things just spring to my mind sometimes. Have you seen this new taunting rule that's
– Oh, man, I hate it.
So you hate it?
I hate it.
Okay. Why do you hate it?
Because I love the entertainment factor of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how passionate we are as players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm stealing this from somebody who said it or I read this somewhere. Imagine the fans in the stands got penalties.
Yes.
For us making a play out there. Oh, you can't. Hey, home team.
Fans don't get paid, though.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, they're emotional. Mm-hmm. We're emotional.
Mm-hmm. But there's a difference because they're not getting paid. We're getting paid to be professional.
We're getting paid to be professional, mm-hmm. right? We are professional. But this is an emotional game
mm-hmm.
that's competitive.
Yep.
And if you get me and I finally get you,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be some emotion.
Yeah, but do you have to direct that emotion at me?
I think some of it's incidental. I think the overt kind of stand over you, disrespect, like, oh, my gosh, this is about to be a fight.
Yep.
No, get that out of there. But just making plays. I mean, if a receiver catches a ball, gets up, does his thing, and I'm right there. If he's standing over me, we got a problem.
What I've seen called is when they're looking at the person after they've made the play. That's what I've seen called.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're 100% correct in a lot of the things that you're saying. I agree. But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. I feel like you don't have to do that.
That I agree with.
I feel like you don't have to do that.
You got to control yourself in that intense environment. I mean,
let me tell you something that's happened to me. True story.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say it on this podcast.
For the people.
For the people.
Mm-hmm.
And any other chance I get to speak about this, uh-huh. I'm going to speak about this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other chance. Whether it's on our show, on whenever this topic comes up, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me.
Okay.
So my last game ever in college, uh-huh. we're playing against Utah State.
Ooh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Last college game, Utah State. Mm-hmm. Offensive tackle's name is Donald Penn.
Oh, Donald Penn was there.
Donald Penn. He was the offensive tackle at the
great,
time.
Good in the league.
Played 15 years in the NFL, right? So Donald Penn was a freshman.
Ooh.
And I was a senior. But Donald was already good.
Okay.
Right? Me and Donald went at it the entire game. The entire game. Right?
Right.
Very serious. It was a battle. And I was dominating because he was a rookie, mm-hmm. freshman, and I was a senior, right? But he wouldn't stop talking.
Ooh.
And I'm talking to him back. Had 3 sacks that game.
Jeez, you gave him that business.
Business, right? 3 sacks that
business.
Game.
Business.
We are ahead maybe 2 points,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Fourth quarter, maybe like 10 seconds left in the game. I hit Donald Penn with a nasty inside move.
Ooh-wee.
Boom. Get to the sack on the quarterback. I go directly to Donald.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, I told you. Referee looks, throws the flag.
Oh, no.
Jason, the game would have been over.
Oh, no.
They move it up 15 yards.
Oh, no.
They kick the field goal, won the game. Now, I went back in the locker room, Jason, and I'm looking at, I don't know, maybe like 10, 15 seniors.
Jeez.
Who will never play football again, right? They will never put on a helmet ever again, Jason. and I robbed them of their chance to go out a winner simply because I couldn't not taunt Donald Penn. I could not do it, right? To this day, I can't remember a time when I cried that much.
Because you feel like you let them down. It was bigger than you.
I couldn't remember a time. They didn't say anything to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I cried till the next day, it seemed like. Because all I could think of was, I was like, I could have simply not done that. I could have simply not done that. Right? Mm-hmm. And I cost us the game because of that action. So now I go to the NFL. I made I don't even know how many plays. But what you will never see me do is go to the guy who I made.
I've never seen you do it.
Never happened.
I've never. I didn't know why you didn't do that.
Never happened.
But now I understand.
You see me run off doing this. You see me go to my teammates. But you will never see me turn to the guy and be like, "Rah!"
No.
Never happened. Because I learned that this is a direct repercussion of doing something like that. And you can control that. So now when I see a lot of these people saying all these things, and blah, 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 I'm like, yes, I understand.
Yeah.
But this is something that can be controlled.
Yes.
And if you're being told, listen, we don't want this in the game. We don't want you to do this. You can say that, oh, this is no fun, and blah, blah, blah. But as a player, you can 100% control that emotion.
I agree.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
I totally agree.
So...
And there's a difference. I mean, as you talk, not only, let's just be honest, there's a lot of kids that watch this game.
Yeah.
And on lower levels. And we always talk about the great lessons that this game has provided. You just told us an amazing lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a very calm demeanor, especially in situations where it's tense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say, oh, that's just OC. He was born like that.
Nah.
Right. Nah. The game has taught you how to control those emotions. And I do think that what the NFL is doing, when I strip back and what they're saying they need to be officiated out of the game, is there are people watching and there's an example on the field that we try to emulate, try to show. And when it comes down to it, we look and we don't We talk stats with each other, but we don't go crazy into stats. But what's one of the main stats that gets you to lose game? Penalties.
Penalties.
I mean, it's the best coaches in the world are like, if we avoid a couple of these things, right, you know, no turnovers, no penalties, if we focus on that, we got a chance, right? Mm. There you go. So controlling your emotions helps you on the field and will help you off the field in life. So from your beginning question, I have completely changed the way I think about this, and I've come to the dark side.
But
it's not really dark.
Yeah, it's not dark, and that is a very good trait to have, Jason. A lot of people can't do what you just did just now.
I completely just changed my whole opinion on that.
Presented with a compelling argument,
they can't change. They go in their corner.
No.
Yeah, and then
not
they,
doing this.
Then they look up. Something that confirms how they think?
Confirmation bias.
Yeah. Confirmation bias is real.
It's real.
Everywhere. It's real in sports. It's real in everywhere. That's gonna get a lot of people in trouble, I think, as we progress in our season, is the people that just think their team was something and coaches and we're gonna do this and it's like, nah.
Yeah.
You need to change.
Yeah.
You need to change.
Bias.
Yes.
The book that I was talking about.
I was just about to ask about that book.
It actually.
Because we're at the 25-minute mark.
Oh, yeah. So we got just like.
Yeah, we try to keep this 30 minutes for y'all during the season.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's kind of a good travel time. And, you know.
Yeah, the book is called. Matter of fact, let me. Because I don't want to butcher the name of
don't
the book.
Don't do it. Don't butcher like I butchered Elasticity. So don't do that.
It's called Taboo.
Okay.
10 Facts You Can't Talk About by Wilfred Riley.
Taboo.
10 Facts You Can't Talk About by Wilfred Riley.
Okay, talk to me about this.
Now, if you get a chance to read this book, I suggest that you do.
Okay.
But
by Wilford Riley, right?
Wilford Riley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk but to me.
Be very, very careful when reading this book.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of things in there that he discusses in a purely statistical manner that debunk a lot of the things that we are going around thinking. And all I want you to do, Jason, is I want you and anybody listening, if you have a chance, to just read a little bit of the book.
Okay.
And then when we come in for our next podcast,
okay,
we're going to get into it.
Okay, so I've read the book description. And oh, shite. This is stuff we've discussed.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. I'm down with this.
Just read it, and then it's very, very, it's illuminating.
Oh, yeah. This is interesting. I will say is, you know, we spend a lot of time in the off season reading a lot of books. I mean, yeah. We knock them down. It's really hard because we're just constantly consuming NFL stuff.
Yeah.
But we always go and we're always reading other things, and it kind of makes us probably look at the game differently.
100%.
Which gives us an advantage. So this is my book. I've just knocked down Noam Chomsky, so I've done him, read his stuff.
Careful with this one, though.
Yeah.
Because be careful. And it's the reason why I'm telling you to be careful is because you and I have very, very similar mindsets.
Yeah.
In that we can think one thing, right?
Yeah.
But when presented with evidence of something else,
we can change.
You change your mind. And it's
why would you know it? Okay, I got something, and it's just something I was writing down the other day for us to discuss on one of our other shows. Please watch our shows. Mm. We need all the viewing figures we can get. Thank you. And it was about when I'm looking at the game. Like I was like, how can I really tell people what's happening in the game? We kind of discussed this the other day, and it's just about how teams adjust.
Yep.
Like within the game, within those four quarters, things change.
Mm-hmm.
First quarter, figure it out. Second and third quarter, I can tell you which teams adjust well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you given your player solutions? Fourth quarter is just where the circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you have to change.
Yeah.
Good coaches.
That's what they do.
They change. Now, you know your technique. You've been taught the skills to execute whatever you need to do within that change. But what you do and how you articulate that.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta mold, morph. You gotta
change. Morph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like being stuck in your ways will get you losses.
Yeah. We could have never we wouldn't even exist as humans.
Right.
If we didn't.
So why are people so stuck in their ways? And they're thinking.
It's weird, man.
And I've always thought like how politicians get judged on well, you know, 20 years ago they thought like this, and now they think like this today, and it's a negative.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What, you got to think the same way you did to get a vote?
Ridiculous.
Like, why?
Ridiculous.
All right, I'm in. I got it.
Read
it. I'm on it. I'm
you
about
know
to
who shouldn't read it?
Who?
Simon. Because Simon is very, you know, oh, I'm going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, just
Simon was, he's a right thing guy.
Yeah.
He is a right thing guy. He's gonna do the right thing.
He's going to come in here next week and his mindset is going to be completely different.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, his mindset is going to be completely different.
Who told you to read this book?
Okay.
Or did you fall into it?
It was just a rabbit hole, man. Sometimes you look at something and then you look at it and you just go down this rabbit hole.
Yep.
And I was like, let me just read this. And I started to read it. And, okay, it was a black professor. I forget what school he was in. But it came about because of the critical race theory that was going on. And he was like, you should remove your kid from any school that's teaching this, right?
Right, right.
And so he said that. I was like, well, what is he talking about? So I started to, you know, see what he was talking about, see what he was about. And this was one of the books that he, you know, said.
He said, you need to try this.
It was like, this influenced me in a lot of the ways that I think. Mm. And so I was like, okay, let me just see. And so this is how I stumbled upon this book. And
I like it.
And the funny thing is, a lot of the things that we have discussed, Jason, a lot of the things that we have discussed that I thought I was just thinking.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Statistical evidence as to why those things are that way are in this book.
I will say this, and I haven't read the book.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing it out there. Statistics, we can make statistics lie.
Yeah.
We can make statistics tell the story you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything,
that's true.
That's true. But yet I don't know because I haven't delved into this.
Just
so I'm just talking
just
surface level.
Yeah, just as you're going home, you bought the audiobook.
I'm on it.
Just check it out.
For some, I don't have any more credits, so I gotta buy another credit to get the
I can lend you something. If you need a little help, Jason.
$100,000 ain't nothing.
Nothing to me.
Man, we are out, man. We're ending the Jason and OC podcast. We are out. We'll see you next week. Taco Tuesdays. Taco Bell, Taco Tuesdays, whatever. Shout out to the Uprise all day. We don't play. Represent. Holla at your boys.
You think Taco Bell is going to give us an endorsement off of this?
Man, I hope they send you a boatload, too. Like a taco boat.
Taco boat.
You know how in the nightclubs they come out with the taco with all the alcohol on? I mean, the big boats with alcohol on it?
I don't. I actually don't.
Like back in the day?
No, I don't.
You ever seen a shot tray? It's like a boat. It looks like a big boat full of shots.
I've never been to a nightclub. What are you talking about?
Holla at us next week.